a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
This Committee on Taxation will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Here.
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 Here. All right, we have a quorum present. I know we have some people that are coming in, and hopefully we'll get everyone back in here shortly. I'd like to welcome everyone here today, both in the audience out front and on the internet. I'd like to say a thank you for coming back today. I was instructed by the Pier Chamber of Commerce to hold the bill over so we could get you to spend another night and spend some more money in Pier, so my scheme worked. Seriously, though, I do thank you and apologize. Yesterday took a little longer than we expected, and I knew we might run into that. So with that, if you do have a cell phone, please turn that off or on vibrate. And if you do wish to sign in, please go to the back of the room, or wish to testify, we ask that you sign in the back of the room on the pedestal. With that, we'll take a minute, have the pages come forward and introduce themselves and tell us where you're from.
I'm Brooke Anderson from Rapid City.
And I'm Aaron Deutsch from Sisseton.
Welcome, and thanks for your help this morning. Okay, with that, we'll move along. The chair would entertain a motion on the minutes.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Junkie, second by Fikert. Any comments on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Okay, the one and only bill we have today is Senate Bill 42. And just also for a little clarification, we probably will have a meeting on Tuesday for summer studies, so be thinking of that over the weekend on what you would like to propose to be studied over the summer. So moving to Senate Bill 42, impose the sales tax on the gross receipts derived from renting mini storage units, self-storage units, or storage space, and the use tax on the use of mini storage units, self-storage units, or storage space. And we will continue with proponent testimony. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul Kinsman, Secretary of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. I'm going to try and keep this at a policy level so that I can explain a little bit about why the department's here. I don't want the department to be characterized as sour grapes over a Supreme Court decision. That's certainly not why we're here. The reason why we're here is that in 1995, the legislature went through a broadening and increased the number of activities that a sales tax would apply to. One of the things that they did was they adopted the standard industrial classification manual. I know you've heard that. Why would a legislature adopt a classification manual for the purposes of taxation? Well, they would adopt it so that you didn't have to enumerate every specific activity upon which a tax would apply. It also would give you a structure or a way to exempt certain things from taxation. Since 1995, we have taxed mini storage units and have collected sales tax on them. We thought the matter was pretty clear. We had a case called Valley Queen Cheese that dealt with warehousing, not mini warehousing. But they used the standard industrial classification manual, and they said clearly it's within there, so it's subject to the tax. So we believed that once you had something within the manual and that the legislature had adopted it, that it was clear that the intent was that was to be taxed. And that's essentially what Justice Gilbertson's dissent says. Essentially, if you engage in a business activity in South Dakota and it's not exempt, then it's taxed. So why are we here? One, we've determined that there's about $1 million going forward. I think it's appropriate to have a conversation with this legislative body about an effect that has $1 million impact, and so that you know what's going on. The second reason is the decision now that we have that we're living with is the decision that says that if it's in the SIC code, the Standard Industrial Classification Manual, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's taxable. You'll have to then step further on down the road and decide whether or not there's a service being provided to determine whether it's taxable. So now, under the current law and the way that we read the Supreme Court decision, when we go to many warehouses, now we have to go to each individual situation and we have to determine whether or not it constitutes the kind of mini warehousing that the court was talking about. And I'll give you an example of some of the questions that we've run into just since the Supreme Court decision. Is it mini warehousing that is not subject to tax if, as part of the rental that you pay, electricity is provided at no extra cost? I have a mini storage unit. Snow removal is provided, a number of different things, but one of the things that's provided, and I park my boat in there, is I plug my trolling motor in when I'm in there. Whether I'm fishing and plugging in my trolling motor every weekend, or whether or not it's the winter and I'm not fishing and not using electricity, the cost is the same. So as a department, we sit back and say, okay, that's a little bit of a service. Is that subject to tax? And then we have other mini storage units that don't just have electricity, they have a security fence. Now we have a building that's got several units and it's got a fence around it that's maintained by the landlord. Is that enough of a service? I don't know. What about if they put up security cameras? We have that situation. Now I have security cameras and a fence, but my rent doesn't change. So the fees that I'm changing doesn't change with whether I use the service or not. I also have situations where the mini storage is climate controlled. Some people like their boat not to get frozen, so they have heat in their unit. Or if I'm storing a classic car, I have heat provided. At what point does that becomes something that is a taxable event? So now we've gone from what we thought was a kind of an all-encompassing black and white situation where all mini storage was subject to the tax, and it clearly is within the manual. It says mini warehousing, but the court said it's a leasehold interest and it's not subject to the tax. So we've gone from what I thought was a black and white, very easy to administer tax to a situation where we're going to have to make individual decisions per taxpayer on whether or not something is taxable based upon the Supreme Court's decision that there's no service involved. That's not a good situation for a Department of Revenue to be in. We operate best when we have clear direction. I don't want to go to one person and say your function is not taxable, and yet your activity is taxable. That puts us in a situation where we, again, are in court. Now you ask, are there any other leasehold interests that the department taxes? Absolutely. We tax parking spaces at the state fair. Clearly it's within the manual that we can do that. So now I can tax a space, but if I put a building over it and a door, I can't. We tax KOA campgrounds, where you pull in on the pad, you plug in, and they pay the tourism tax on top of that. So we do tax leasehold interests. Maybe not just exactly like this one, and I'm not suggesting that you should tax rental properties like residences. They are specifically exempt. But my position is that's within your purview. If you said, Mr. Kinsman, we are going to hold taxable monthly rental units of apartments, I would do that, and I think that would be within your purview as the legislature to decide that activity is subject to the sales tax. We thought that's what you did in 1995. We're here for clarification because we're in a position now where we thought we were clear in what we were doing. The court said, no, you're not, and now we're in an individual basis. So what we're trying to do is take it back to where it was clear, and it was taxable. And the reason why we went that direction is because it was $1 million. It's simply a decision from a policy standpoint that I think is within your purview, and that's the reason why we're here. You're going to have the department making decisions if this bill does not pass that are going to be on an individual basis. I'm not going to have very many taxpayers that are going to be happy. There are going to be some clear ones where the tax doesn't apply. When it's simply, you know, here's the mini storage and you've got your own lock and there's nothing else provided, clearly the court has said that that's not subject to tax. But they've said that there, unless there's a service involved, it's not taxable. I just don't know how much service there has to be before it becomes taxable. And now I'm making a decision as to whether or not something is taxable based upon the individual facts of every situation. And we are certainly better off not going down that road, in my opinion. That being said, Mr. Chair, that's going to be the department's presentation with regard to this bill. That's why we're here. We're not trying to be sour grapes. We're not trying to pick on particular taxpayers. We're trying to do something that allows us to categorically tax one particular activity and not have to do it on an individual basis. We did have an amendment that was passed out in the last committee meeting. We would like that move. What that does is it returns the bill to its original form, puts the emergency clause back on it. The reason why we're doing that is because we understand that this is going to take a two-thirds vote of the members, and if the bill would pass the House, we certainly think it needs to go back over to the Senate for their concurrence with a two-thirds vote, and we don't want to try and suggest that that's not the case, and that's why we're putting the amendment back on. I appreciate your time, and I will stand by for questions.
Secretary Kinsman. Are there any further proponents to Senate Bill 42? Any further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, we will move to opponents. Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 42? Morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Matt Staub. I live in rural Brandon, South Dakota. I own Northview Bait and Storage in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I stand as an opponent. I was jotting down things as to what Secretary Kinsman said, and I wrote quickly. Mr. Secretary, I want you to know that as you are not, don't have sour grapes, neither do we. I do have to give a kudos to, I'm relatively new to the business world, 3 years now. The Department of Labor, the Department of Revenue, they've all been wonderful. Great help. You get on the phone and they help. Fantastic people. I have a huge gripe with the government itself. I don't have a gripe with the people that we have that are actually performing the services. I don't know where to start on Secretary Kinsman's remarks. He mentioned the standard manual so that you wouldn't have all these exemptions and things in and out. We do that now, folks. I was on the internet last night, list after list after list, and you're arguing over some of them. In your daily activities, the rodeo thing comes to mind, this referees and things like that. We do that in South Dakota. I think every state does that. Nothing is black and white in this world, unfortunately. He mentions the Valley Queen case, and that came up again yesterday, or came up today, and it came up yesterday. I'm frustrated, folks, that, and I'm tired. It's been a long 2 days. I'm getting to know that interstate pretty well. Their main argument is the losing argument. They lost in circuit court. They lost in the Supreme Court. And they're using the losing argument as their winning argument. To me, that makes very little sense. The Supreme Court ruled whether we think services are being provided or not. The Supreme Court says there are no services being provided. It's right here. It's fairly easy decision to read. There's not a lot of technical in it, but the majority decision, along with the circuit court, says repeatedly that there are no services being provided. Since there are no services being provided, There should be no tax being charged on it. The fact that it has been being charged for however many years is really a moot point. The Supreme Court basically said it was illegal for the state of South Dakota to be charging the sales tax. As my mother said, God rest her soul, and probably everybody's mother in here said, two wrongs never made a right. It was wrong then, on December 28th, 2008, when the Supreme Court came down to the decision. It was wrong then, and it was wrong now. Just because that's the way we did it doesn't make it right. The Valley Queen case, they mentioned that yesterday, they mentioned it today, the Department of Revenue did. The Valley Queen case is addressed on both sides in the Supreme Court decision as well. And in that, the majority opinion, which is the law of the land, states that this does not pertain to this particular case because in the Valley Queen decision, there were services being provided. There was cold air being provided. They were moving the cheese around for these folks. It's funny that we're talking cheese. And when we heard this yesterday, we all looked at each other and said, cheese? There's no cheese in any of our storage units that I know. Well, there could be. I mean, completely, totally, wholly, and you're comparing apples to oranges on the Valley Queen case. It's unfortunate that it even came. It obviously was not a winning argument. I think the state used that in front of the Supreme Court. And as I said, the Supreme Court threw that argument out. And I'm going in the order of what Secretary Kinsman brought up, because, like I said, I wrote quickly. $1 million impact, Mr. Secretary, for $1 million, I got to regress you. $1 million impact means there's $25 million of storage being rented in this state. I find that to be high. I kind of doubt I question the $25 million in storage fees. And on a philosophical level, the impact of the state should not be a consideration on the legalities of the tax. The Supreme Court, again, like I said several times, has ruled that it was an illegal tax. The Secretary brought up the electricity for his boat and motor and the security fence and the cameras, the climate control. I'm going to address you have to make a decision on the security fence and the cameras. I don't know who all provides that. I do not at mine. I don't even turn my lights on for my storage units because I literally can't afford to pay the electricity bill anymore. We'll get to that part here in a little bit. The electricity being provided, the climate control being provided at certain storage units, and like I said, mine, I do not provide either of those. Those are being paid by the owner of the building and the buildings and the storage units, and then we all pay sales tax on that. So the secretary is asking us to pay sales tax on sales tax. Now, in my book, that's double taxation. In South Dakota, I think we try to shy away a little bit from the double taxation. Parking spaces at the state fair, I'm glad he brought that up. Again, two wrongs don't make a right. Should we be charging sales tax renting a piece of ground? We don't charge sales tax in South Dakota on renting of property. The only ones we do are mini storage units. And the Supreme Court said you can't do that. We don't do it on agricultural. We don't do it on commercial. We don't do it on residential. There's another classification of land and property in this state. I haven't heard of it, but we don't charge sales tax on any of those, not one. And I don't know why we're singling out mini storages. He mentions the KOA campgrounds, pools, showers, the list goes on. I think you all saw that one for what that one was. It's within your purview, the secretary says, to put a tax on anything, and it is. This is South Dakota, folks. Nobody in this state makes a lot of money, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Just because you can raise the tax, does that mean you should raise the tax? Did any of you run last November and October saying, you know what, I'm going to go to Pier, and I'm going to raise your tax when you go. I'm trying not to get emotional. I'm going to raise your tax when you go to State Fair to park. I'm going to raise your taxes when your elderly parents have to move to assisted living and we got to put your stuff in storage. None of you did that. None of you did that. None of you did that. The secretary brings up the question of service. What service is involved? We know under this one, Supreme Court has said, like the decision or not, it's not a service. Like I said yesterday, folks, only thing I've done is cleared the gutters. I helped one lady. One of my customers couldn't get her lock undone. I went out and took the bolt cutter and did it for her. In 3 years, that's all I've done. That's all I have done. Yeah, I removed the snow. Again, South Dakota common courtesy. I do it for my tenants and my duplexes. I put up a hand railing for an elderly lady in one of my duplexes in the middle of November. It was a little cold. The ground was a little hard. I got it done for her. Didn't have to. I met code, but this is South Dakota. Two-thirds vote. You might as well put that amendment in, because in my opinion, with all due respect to the lieutenant governor, this will be a new tax, because the Supreme Court, again, I keep harping back to that, but that's right here, folks. This will be a new tax, so in my humble opinion, you're going to need that two-thirds vote anyway. All right, let's get back to what I came up here for. I read to you yesterday rather quickly a lot of the things that are in the Supreme Court decision. I won't go over them all the way, but repeatedly 3, 4, 5 times in here. Excuse me, it says we're not providing services. That's the Supreme Court. Again, it's within your purview, but does that make it right? A good point came up yesterday. I own 3 duplexes, my wife and I do. If anybody wants to buy them, please let me know. They have garages. Those are storage units. Do I have to charge a sales tax because it's a garage? My roughly half of my storage units, you can drive a car into. They're 10 by 22 with 8-foot doors. Do they become garage? Like, we're rolling down a hill here that I don't know that you really want to. Valley Queen cheese. I brought that one up. Electrical, water, heating, cooling. I brought that up. Oh, when I get them paid for last year, hopefully when I have some money that I don't have to pay in the sales tax rebate that I should get, $10,000 a year, and I'm a small storage unit guy, $10,000 a year is in property taxes. So it's not like we're not paying taxes. $10,000 a year. It's more than I made off of the store last year. The obvious comes up, is this not a little bit self-serving on all of our parts? We're protecting our own industry. Of course we are. I pick no bones about it. I drove back and forth to Sioux Falls 2 days in a row. You know, you wake up at 3:15, get on the road by 3:45. If I could fight the gas tax that you folks will be addressing, if I could fight the license fee increase that you folks will be bringing up, all the fees. As a conservative South Dakotan, I'm against all of these, but this one hits home. So when I
point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Take your point.
I have other committees to go to if we can keep on point.
And we do have, I'm sorry to interrupt, we have probably 7 people that need to testify, so...
All right, I'll close with this, folks. Yesterday there was a comment brought up that the Rapid City District was the most beautiful one in the state. No, District 15, Mr. Kirschman's district is the most beautiful district in the state. A lot of my customers are in there. I've got people that are trying to, I got 2 electricians, 2 plumbers, a small contractor. I've donated 2 units. I have at least 3 families that have their elderly parents and stuff in there. Like I said, the assisted living. If these small businessmen and women were at any other facility, they would be paying sales tax on it. Is it right that we're charging the working people of District 15 and all of your districts sales tax when the Supreme Court says no? I've got lots of more, but obviously you folks have other things to do. The fiscal impact, I'll leave that one go. I have my own thoughts on the 6 TVs that are in this room. I think that's a bit excessive, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 42.
Good morning. My name is Judy Stromer, and I'm co-owner of Stromer Storage in Rapid City. I'm going to be very brief. I would like to say that, first of all, I'm not opposed to paying taxes. That's what we need to do. I am opposed to paying unfair taxes and having to charge our customers with that sales tax. I would like to explain a little bit about why I feel that way. We as storage units, as we've said, others have said, and it was brought up yesterday, we are not a public warehouse. We are not a storage warehouse. We rent space to individuals who need a place to store their items. And that's all we do. They can come in and go put things in and take things out in 24 hours a day at our place. And that's all we do is rent space. And so I believe that this tax is an unfair tax. We own a ranch, and we were able to take 20 acres of that ranch and convert it to a commercial property. Well, the rest of our property is, taxed ag. We pay a lot more in property taxes on that 20 acres. But mainly I just wanted to say, that's kind of my point of view on this, is that we rent space, and that's all we do. And we appreciate your time, and we ask that you please vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Further opponents to Senate Bill 42. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Verna Olson, and I'm co-owner of West Star Storage in Rapid City. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak our opinion to you this morning. A large majority of the renters that we rent to in our facility are renting space because of duress. And many of those have just had a divorce, a loss of a job, a loss of a home. That becomes more and more prevalent these days. The death of a parent and storing their belongings. And the majority of our people that we rent to do not store classic cars or boats. So I feel like a tax on this storage space is more or less a regressive tax, taxing someone who already is under duress. So I'd appreciate a no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 42.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Rick Geffrey from Pier. I own and operate a self-storage business here in Pier. I have been in the self-storage business since 1985. And in 1995, during Governor Janklow's tax broadening, a sales tax was slipped into law. Most storage owners were not aware of this bill and consequently were notified by the Department of Revenue that we now had to pay sales tax on our storage revenue. This has never been challenged till last year when it was brought in front of the Supreme Court. They made the decision that this was an illegal tax from the beginning because there was no service involved in the storage business and that we were only renting real estate. Currently, there is no tax on apartments, homes, or business shops that are rented. I feel that you'd be singling storage facilities out while other rental real estate remains untaxed. I also feel that this should have been treated as a new tax in the Senate and should have needed a two-thirds majority vote to get to this stage. I also own and operate a small trailer court. In the court, I provide service of clearing snow, security lights, trimming trees, general upkeep of the lots. In the homes that I rent, there's also a service to plumbing and heating repairs. There is no tax on these rentals, even though there is a service provided. To me, this is very simple. If you are going to tax real estate, tax all real estate fairly. I strongly urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 42. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 42.
Good morning. My name is Milt Stromer. We have Stromer Storage in Rapid City. We are a small business. As I look at this problem, I see a lot of problems with definitions. What is personal property? What is warehousing? What constitutes a service? What is a storage space? and also what is rental real estate. HB 1245 back in 1997 became a law which outlines the landlord-tenant relationship between storage business owners and the tenants, means of removing a tenant from property, very similar to residential housing issues when you have renters, and to make sure that the landlord is not abusive and that it's fair to the tenants that they can stay in their home or pay their bills, basically. If anybody needs a copy of that, I have about 10 of them here if anybody is interested. Section 1-6 defines self-storage as real property, the self-storage business. As my wife stated earlier yesterday, we heard a lot about taxation in the ag industry, and we've converted some of our ag property, some of our ranch, into the storage industry. And I guarantee you, we pay a whole lot more on our commercial real estate than we do on our ag real estate. And so I think as an industry, we are paying our fair share. With the commercial rate, I believe that is the highest possible property tax that can be paid. It's something like 8 times the rate of ag. So when you see my storage buildings, which look very large and lush compared to a farmer with the same 5,000 square foot building, when you drive by, I'm paying a whole lot more tax on that building than I would on my ag building. The other thing is that when we build a building, when we improve our property, as we go, we do pay our sales tax, our excise tax on all the materials to build the building. We're not real estate brokers, but we do rent real estate. And I think there's a big difference in the two. When I used to rent out and lease residential houses, they all had storage space. Commercial buildings had storage space. I was never asked to collect the sales tax on that. With my ag land, I pasture cows in the summertime. I get so much per month per animal unit. I provide a service. I give the cows salt. I give them minerals, water, check the fences, check the pasture, make sure the well-being of the livestock. Nobody's asked me to charge a sales tax for that service. We live on our storage property. Hopefully it will make us a living as we go into our retirement years. We build a pole barn type structure. We have concrete floors, electric lights. We even provide a porta potty. We have night security lighting, comes on automatically, and believe it or not, we still have the four-wire barbed wire cow fence around the perimeter of the property. We do not handle the customer's personal property. They are responsible for their property. We assume no liability for their property. We recommend that they have tenant insurance, renter's insurance on the property that they have stored in our building. And so same story, going back to trying to define service. I don't know where we would start. And traditionally in the state of South Dakota, we do not charge a sales tax on property rentals. And so therefore, I feel that we are being unfairly chosen to pay extra sales tax, and it does create a hardship for our customers. The old sales tax law, as was stated before, was overturned by the Supreme Court. The new SB 42, in my opinion, is a bad law. It's poorly written. It's vague. Going to be very, very hard to enforce. I guess for those reasons, members of the committee, I certainly would urge you to vote no on SB 42. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents to Senate Bill 42?
Yes, hi. My name is Larry Motzik, and I have a storage facility in Rapid City. I agree with a lot of things that's been said, but I just want to point, just make one additional point. We are providing a space, and majority of my customers, of course, I'm just speaking for myself, majority of my customers are from lower to maybe middle-income people. This is an extension from their from the house that they're either renting or apartment or a trailer home. They need additional space because they got personal stuff that they don't have room for. So they come to me looking for that space to rent and to store their items. This is not a luxury. This is essential. This is a necessity for those people. In that way, I don't feel that they should really be taxed. I did an analysis, and I just like to share it with you. And I just did this a couple months ago because I was really curious. And over 60% of my renters are long-term renters. And when I mean long-term, they're 2+ years. I actually went a little bit further. And 40% of my customers or my renters are actually 5+ years. So these are not just short-term, you know, renters who come in and rent for a few months or and then because they're transitioning between one house to another or whatever. This is actually a storage unit that they feel necessary to have on a long-term basis for storing of their personal items. So I just wanted to add that too from the rest of this testimony. So again, I'm objecting, and I hope that you will vote no on this bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 42.
Good morning. First off, thanks for having us all here. We certainly appreciate it. My name is Erdene Olson, and I'm co-owner of West Star Storage in Rapid City, South Dakota. And most of this stuff's been covered, so I won't repeat it. But I really believe with everything everybody said here, especially the part about the regressive tax on people that are in trying times of their life when they come to us, either losing their home, divorce, parents dying, etc. One question I had, the old law was a sales tax, and I see in the writing of the new law it's listed as an excise tax, and I guess I'm not quite sure what the difference is with all of that. But and I really agree with Milt Stromer on the pasture land issue of renting out your cattle pasture land and providing salt and mineral and counting the cattle for them, and I just don't see much difference. So if you want to go that route, there's lots of comparisons you can make. And also with the apartment buildings that have separate storage units that they're not paying any tax on. So anyway, please vote no on Senate Bill 42, and thank you very much for having us here.
Thank you. Any further opponents to Senate Bill 42? Any further opponents? Seeing no further opponents, they would allow a quick rebuttal if you want one.
I'll be very brief. This was essentially covered in my initial testimony. I just want to point out that what, you know, they're saying is this is going to be a complicated area given the Supreme Court decision. We're going to have to decide what services is provided and whether or not that's going to fall under the sales tax given the current state of the law. I would prefer not to have to do that on an individual basis, but we will be doing it. I think the Supreme Court case is clear that mini warehouse by itself is not subject to tax. They talk about it not being a service. The opposite of that is that when there are services provided, that the property becomes taxable at some point. I would prefer not to do that on an ad hoc basis, and that's why we brought the bill.
Thank you. With that, we will close the public testimony and open it up to questions from the committee. Are there any questions? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Secretary Kinsman, please. Mr. Chairman. Secretary Kinsman, what year did the legislature adopt this standard industrial classification manual?
I believe it was the 1995 session.
Just reading the excerpt that we got from the standard industrial classification manual, it says it has the word industrial in there, and the way that I'm reading this is items that would be stored in the warehouses or in the mini storage units need to be classified as industrial. Is that correct?
No, I don't believe that that's the case. It is the standard industrial classification manual, but it doesn't necessarily indicate that it has to be industrial type goods that are stored, no.
Okay, and then a follow-up, thank you. Then I'm reading in here that as prepared by the Statistical Policy Division of the Office of Management and Budget Office of the President, are exempt from the provisions of this chapter. Health services, educational services, except schools, social services, agricultural services, except veterinarian services, animal specialty services, except veterinary. How on earth do you interpret this thing anyway?
I think that in truth is why the industrial classification manual is there. It gives you a guideline as to what is and what is not by category subject to taxation. It allows the legislature to go in and, for example, there are things in there specifically. One of the opponents talked about farm storage. Farm storage, farm warehousing is specifically exempt. It's an area within the industrial classification manual that the legislature determined that area was going to be exempt. So they specifically reference that particular activity and hold it to be exempt. So that's what the standard industrial classification manual is for. When you tax all the services that we do and all the products that we do in South Dakota, it's a much easier and much clearer to do that by category than it is by individual product or individual service and the type and way that that service or product is delivered.
Follow up. I moved up here from Arizona in 1991, and we had the standard rentals that one would rent. When I stored my property, I rented a unit that was enclosed within a unit, and it had lighting, it had restrooms, it had security guards, it had security on the outside, excuse me, and to me, those people were providing a security service and an indoor service, and I can understand maybe paying taxes on that because they were providing services for me, but just to have a unit where I just stored my personal non-industrial items, I don't understand the distinction.
I think in many cases that you have businesses that provide and pay tax on security services. Whether or not you pay sales or use tax in Arizona on personal storage, that would be something for the Arizona legislature to decide, and that's why I'm here before this legislature. I mean, the bottom line here is if the legislature chooses not to do this, we're probably going to be coming back next year with a bill to specifically make it clear that as a category, mini warehousing is exempt. Because right now, if I have to go and decide what constitutes a service to which tax applies on an ad hoc individual basis, I'm going to have upset taxpayers, and it's going to be very difficult for the department to administer.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Feiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is for Mr. Kensman also. I've got a couple of questions. First of all, when was the tax first started? Can you tell me what year when it went into effect, when the first tax was collected?
I believe it would have been 1996.
Okay. And do you have any idea roughly what the annual collection has been?
I know that when we looked at mini storage, we determined that it was $1 million. I'd have to ask Jan specifically how we came up with that number. But what we did was we looked at mini storage units, we looked at average rental rates, and we determined that it was $1 million. It's going to be give or take. I mean, that's an estimate.
Follow-up question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I suppose this is probably no different than any other collecting tax on anything else, but how can you be sure that you're getting every rental unit or every, I mean, this is kind of at your honor type deal? I mean, you don't have someone, the department doesn't have someone going out contacting, or do you contact through the county assessor's office, or how do you make contact with all these units?
Without getting into specific tax discovery policies, we certainly look at things like advertising for, and then we look from the advertisement to see whether or not there's a sales tax license associated with that business. And yes, we pretty aggressively go out and find this stuff. If they're not licensed, we get them licensed. We tell them that they're subject to the tax. And since 1995, there's not been a real, in my opinion, this really, the case that went to the circuit court and the Supreme Court was the first time that this issue had come up.
Okay. One quick follow-up question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just explain to me the separation or the difference between, say, a 60 by 120 building that that someone has built. And specifically, it's cemented out, and they rent either square foot space or maybe a particular item space, and they're charging either by the square foot or by the unit, whatever is parked in that facility and in that building or that structure, and it's being used. Is the separation there, the difference there, that it's not mini storage? Because truly, there could be a situation there where you'd have basically the exact same deal, only you got one great big door on the front of the building where you've got maybe 25 or 30 different individuals that are renting space in that facility. Are they taxed?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will move on to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cutler just beat you.
Mr. Chairman, I would move 42FB.
Second.
Motion by Representative Cutler, second by Noem, to amend 42 with 42FB. Comments on that motion?
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, for purposes of discussion of this bill, should this bill be passed out, it should require a two-thirds vote, and that way we can correct action taken by the Senate since they ruled a simple majority. In the event the bill would pass the committee, it would be in the proper form then with the emergency clause. What the amendment does is simply deletes all the Senate amendments and restores the bill to the printed version.
Thank you. Any comments on the motion to amend? Seeing none. All those in favor of amending 42 with 42
FB, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. 42 is so amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cutler.
Mr. Chairman, I move do pass on Senate Bill 42 as amended.
Second. Motion by Representative Cutler, second by Representative Noem to do pass as amended. Comments on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we have a unique situation in regard to what these folks do as to whether we have the use of property for rental in the strictest sense. And I think it's pretty obvious that we don't necessarily have the same exemption, or shouldn't have the same exemption, that we do for properties that are used for residential or commercial purposes. And that's really why those folks who don't pay sales tax don't. I think clearly there is a service provided. The proprietor makes the space available. It's enclosed, securable, and suitable for storage. And then the proprietor offers the space to the willing customers who agree to the price, and the privilege of using the space is made available. I think the other indication that clearly a service is involved is that these folks can avail themselves of the liens provided for those who provide services, as found in 4414.2. Those folks, the nature of the lien that can be used in 4414.2 is for those who provide services such as labor and expenses. And so I think clearly we have a blend of the use of property, but the use of property not for residential or commercial leasing purposes, but rather for service purposes, providing a service. And I think the fact that 4414.2 and the fact that they can get liens for those who are service providers speaks to that, and is already indicative that there is a service being provided. I think as a lawyer, it's an interesting question of law, but I think clearly the legislature should find on the side that there is a service provided in this, and that in order for our tax laws to remain fair to everyone, when we rely on a broad-based gross receipts tax system, then people have to pay their fair share. And so because this is a mixed question, I think we have to look for those things that give answers as to whether or not a service really is included in what's being done here. And to me, the idea that, you know, they can avail themselves of liens that are about providing a service persuades me that a service is clearly provided for these folks. So with that, I would urge due passage of Senate Bill 42 as amended.
Thank you, Representative Hanong.
I would make a substitute motion to move Senate Bill 42 to the 41st legislative day.
Second.
Substitute motion to defer Senate Bill 42 to the 41st day. Comments on that motion, Representative Hanong?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I don't disagree that there is a service provided. My point would be that we don't necessarily have to tax every product or service that we can identify in South Dakota, and I don't blame the department. I think the department needs some clarification here. It's really gets to a matter of tax philosophy, and I think this is a classic case. We've heard this morning a classic case of why the sales tax is so regressive. If you believe, and I don't disbelieve, the testimony from the department that this could raise $1 million, that means we have a business here that does $25 million. I'm doing the math in my head, but that would mean that that's $35 for every man, woman, and child in South Dakota. So you take a family of four, that means they're paying, if every family of four had a rented a storage space, that would be like $1,500 to $2,000 for a family of four. So a tax of 6% becomes a week or two's groceries. That's that means something. And every family doesn't rent a storage space. So that means that some families were charging enough tax for 2 or 3 weeks groceries for some families. It's another case of regressive tax. Yeah, we already tax their food, we tax their clothing, we tax their utilities, and now we're going to reach out and find every other thing we can possibly tax on these working families. And they are working families. I've loaned pickups to families who needed to move things in and out of storage spaces. They're usually, as has been testified today, usually working families, maybe a little bit down on their luck sometimes. You know, people who need to borrow a pickup to even move the things in and out. And it's been testified sometimes there are people who need help with the labor of moving things in and out. So I just think it's the wrong tax again at the wrong time, and we should move the bill on to the 41st day. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on that substitute motion to defer to the 41st day?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greenfield.
Russell. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I join in the motion to move this to the 41st day. I think the South Dakota Supreme Court has settled the legal questions in this particular matter, and I would concur in Mr. Hunhoff's assessment that this would fall disproportionately on the poor of our state that don't have the ability, the size of homes or garages, to store their own items, and I think that this is the wrong time to be raising taxes on the people of South Dakota. Thank you.
Any further comments on the substitute motion? Representative Cutler.
Well, I would ask you to resist the motion to the 41st day, though I think it's we all may be tempted to make a statement about how anyone is impacted by a tax, and though some people find our tax system regressive, it is the system we have. And to keep this system fair, those who provide services should pay a tax. I also think that while the court made a decision in a case, it's up to us as the legislature to set the policy. And having corrected the course and corrected the policy, the court then will interpret what the legislative intent is. And I think our discussion, our hearing, the proponent and opponent testimony, and this bill clearly will identify to the court the intention of the legislature. We don't necessarily just recede from a finding of the court. It's up to us to set the policy, and then it is up to the court to simply interpret what the legislative intent of that policy is. So I would ask you to resist the motion to the 41st day.
Mr. Thank you. Just keep in mind we have some folks that need to leave at 9, so Representative Lang.
Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While I was listening to the debate, Adam Smith came to mind, who published The Wealth of Nation in 1776, and it reminded me of his siding with the colonies against the British government and their system of taxing. He laid down in this document the principles of taxation. They should be simple and fair and easy to pay, and they should be based on ability to pay. Well, this, in view of the Supreme Court decision and all of the complications that we hear from this kind of going after even lemonade stands in one case, is completely the antithesis of what Adam Smith had in mind. So I would recommend that we send this to the 41st day and that we all read one of the great works of Western civilization, Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nation, published in 1776. Pretty significant date, folks. That was when we revolted against taxation without representation.
Thank you. Any further comments? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to resist this motion. It's not without reservation, but I think there's a little bit of a misconception. First of all, I do believe the legislative intent was to assess tax on this particular industry or this particular business venture back in the 90s. Second, I think it's a misconception that there will be some kind of grand savings to be experienced by the people who are renting these storage spaces. I would surmise that for that to happen, the costs to the consumers have to be decreased, and in order for that to happen, I guess my point is that it'd be a buck or two perhaps per month, but I don't see it as being some salvation. I don't see families as being able to put 2-3 weeks worth of groceries in their fridge and in cupboards. I would sincerely question whether or not the savings would even be passed on. It's not a statement of contempt for the the people who have come before us today. I very much sympathize with them, and I commend them for the way that they've conducted themselves today as they testified, but I am going to resist this motion at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. With that, we will go ahead and move to the vote on Senate Bill 42 as amended. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, excuse me, I need to clarify. This is a substitute motion to defer Senate Bill 42 to the 41st day. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Cutler?
No.
Tigert?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
No.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Junkie?
No.
Kirkby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
No.
Thompson?
Aye.
Noam?
No.
Olson?
No.
9 ayes. Nine ayes, 6 nays.
A substitute motion to defer Senate Bill 42 to the 41st day, having received a majority vote, is hereby declared lost. Thank you. With that, that wraps up our bills for the session. I certainly appreciate everything we've done. Once again, we will be having a meeting on Tuesday, so bring your ideas for a summer study committee. With that, we'll let everyone get out of here. Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Junkie, second by Noam. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. We are adjourned.